the law. Law won again. How does that keep happening? That was the Jolly Boys. It's a new release from them. I Fought the Law, an old song, a new release. Before that, of course, was Jessica Karp of the National Day Labor Organizing Network on Secure Communities. You're listening to What's Left, where we're just about out of time. Stay tuned for Music for Humans coming up in a few moments or so. Before I go, it's time for the weekly events calendar, the radical events calendar from your friends here. And coming up tomorrow, the second general meeting of the Metro Boston Media Reform Network. Tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at Encuentro Cinco, located at 33 Harrison Ave in Chinatown. There will be reports from some of the groups that were organized at the last meeting, visioning, brainstorming for the future. For more information about the network, the Metro Boston Media Reform Network, you can search for Boston Media Reform. They have some Google groups. It's not an easy URL, but you will find. Or go to their meeting tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. at Encuentro Cinco. Next Wednesday evening, July 20th, a community conversation, Not Guilty, will explore the pressures black men experience today in violation of their civil rights and civil liberties. Black men will be encouraged to actively advocate for awareness of their 21st century plight. The forum will be moderated by Charles Ogletree, professor of Harvard Law School, founder of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice at Harvard Law. Sponsored by the Men of Color Task Force, City Councilor Ken Reeves, Cambridge NAACP, and Cambridge Elks Lodge 129. Next Wednesday, July 20th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Cambridge Community Center, 5 Calendar Street. For more information and to RSVP, contact Richard at 617-354-0404. And beekeeping in Cambridgeport. A tour and talk with two local beekeepers on location next Tuesday evening. The bees themselves will be rather quiet this time of day or evening, but you can learn how the beekeepers and bees function in very tight urban locations, as well as the threatened survival of bees and how that impacts our ecosystem. This is coming Tuesday, July 19th. There will be two tour locations, one at 115 Pearl Street in Cambridge at 6:30 p.m. and 9 Perry Street, Cambridge at 7 p.m. This is sponsored by the Greenport Forum. For more information, email swineman@gis.net. That's not easy. And last but not least, this Sunday morning, the Community Church of Boston Summer Speakers Series presents Challenging the Siege of Gaza Abroad, Aboard the Audacity of Hope. The guest speaker will be Ridgely Fuller, who's just back from the Second Freedom Flotilla, where she joined with hundreds of people representing some 22 countries who came together to insist that Israel end its illegal blockade of Gaza. Ridgely is a Boston area resident and social worker with a history of Palestinian human rights activism. You're invited to meet her. Gather at 11:45 a.m. to share brunch. Please bring a wholesome, nutritious, savory dish to contribute to the brunch table. Coffee and tea provided. The speaker will begin at 12:15 p.m. Discussion to follow this Sunday morning at the Community Church of Boston in Copley Square. Visit communitychurchofboston.org for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Thank you for being with us. And be again next week. Stay tuned for the humans coming up momentarily. You are listening to WMBR Cambridge, where it is, just past 7 p.m.
مرحبا في ميوزك فور هيومن. I'm الدكتور جانس السكران here on Wimber and I welcome you. The light of the spirit of the city shines tonight like the well-oiled proboscis of an ancient man. I have had many visions of this man whom I have never met, but whose oiled leather skin beckons me, much as Alaaddin was beckoned to polish the lamp. I wonder if I polish his skull, will he grant me a wish? I'm not sure. I think maybe. We are joined on this surreal evening by Aurora. Aurora, marhaban.
Namaste. And thank you for having me on the show again.
Of course, Aurora, it is our pleasure. We must thank you for returning.
And this proboscis that you speak of, I believe I am not familiar with the term, but it sounds intriguing.
Yeah, I am referring to the man's bald head, which is oiled like leather, like an old wallet or a saxophone. Aurora, have you ever rubbed a man's bald head for luck?
I usually prefer the stomach rub, personally, not rubbing the actual organ, unless it is of an animal that I have communed with and sentenced to death. In which case, rubbing the stomach, the actual organ, can bring great solitude and wisdom. But yes, to my living counterparts, a gentle rub of the belly usually soothes them, and thus I pay it forward.
It's a method of acquiring luck and static electricity.
Precisely. Particularly if they are wearing woolen shirts.
Or velvet.
I suppose.
It's more common. We'd also like to welcome today, wearing a velvet shirt, as always, Grand Epinga. Marhaban, Grand Epi.
Marhaban. It's great to be back with you guys, and hopefully with our callers and listeners. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you, Grand Epi.
And have you used a man's, what is the term again?
Skull, head.
Proboscis?
Head.
Yes, I have.
For luck or in the hopes of gaining a legendary wish?
For travel.
For travel?
Yes. I found that rubbing one's bald head can take your imagination to just distant lands and distant places that your pure imagination is too limited to. You need the power of rubbing someone's head, hopefully with a velvet shirt, as you said, to really conduct said energy.
Thank you. The bald head, of course, is the seat of much wisdom. It is not uncommon that in a stadium of onlookers, one may in ancient times recognize the wise and the ancient and the blessed by the shininess of their skulls. Now I think in imitation of this, in modern time, it is common for those who have full heads of hair to oil their hairs unnaturally to achieve this shine. Zorro, marhaban.
Thank you, Doctor.
I'm hoping that you may be able to shed light.
Some light on the shiny hair. I'm not so certain. My shine, it comes naturally. It is not an artificial effect of some kind. But I'm pleased that you have noticed.
I think your shine is more of a glow. I see these gentlemen, if one may use the term, whose hair appears to have been washed constantly.
And yet I believe this glow that we see on Zorro comes from within his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not certain it is difficult to perceive oneself directly, but it is quite pleasing to hear.
I'm told it's also possible to have very shiny hair with good nutrition.
Yes, because...
That is correct. Shiny hair, in terms of nutrition, things like avocado and olive oil and fats like those do produce shiny hair. And it's that shiny hair that, just to go back on what you were saying, the same way that Zorro, with his beautiful baldness and glow, radiates said energy. Those with shiny hair have an aura about them that is quite positive, and we could feed off of.
Indeed. Aside from, I think, having a magnificent soul or having excellent nutrition, it may also be possible to achieve an artificial shine with many natural or unnatural synthetic things, Crisco.
Well, eggs and whale blubber.
Miracle Whip.
Yeah. I think it is some use shoe polish.
Shoe polish also. It's very abrasive to the skin, but it is also a way to achieve a very strong, if offensively malodorous, shine.
Mayonnaise also works wonders for shine.
Mayonnaise?
Mm-hmm.
If you ingest or if you are applying on the hair itself?
Both. It works from the inside and the outside. Mayonnaise.
That is quite miraculous.
So making also the organs themselves glisten.
Yes, it will be quite shiny and glistening once you have a proper serving of mayonnaise daily. The shine will definitely have people talking and wondering where that beautiful shine came from.
You know, and I'm not always sure that we want people to talk. I think there might be an issue there also. I wonder, we all have been discussing the shine of the hair. In the case of Zorro, the shine of the hair, and in other cases, the shine of the skull, which is elegant and beautiful, a very classy, refined shine. Has anyone other than myself succumbed to the hope of obtaining a wish by rubbing the skull, and has such a wish ever been granted?
This is a very deep and personal question, which I shall answer openly. And note that it is not merely the skull of man that can be used. It is the skull of any creature.
A woman.
A woman, a chipmunk, a fellow squirrel, which, if your friend, an animal, passes suddenly, you may bury him or her underground.
If they pass by.
If they pass on to the other realm.
If they die.
Yes. If they die. You may tie up its body in twine, bury it underground for many months, and then upon unearthing it once more, you shall see its skull, its divine beauty, in the simplest form. And then you can rub it and perceive your friend, your communion with your friend, your connection with this creature. And you know that its spirit is attempting to grant you one more wish.
Well, I think that with that also, with what you explained is the fact that burying this animal is giving its body and back to the earth, and it's the power of the earth that in part grants that wish. It's getting back that energy and power from the earth, and aligned with the rubbing of the skull, would be able to grant that wish that you may have.
Yes, I have well have heard of this, perhaps you say legend or something of the kind, that if you are to rub the skull of a bald or blind man,
eagle,
that you will be granted a wish. I have not tried it by my experience, but I have heard that it will work well with an animal also, but it is true that bald animals are much more rare, of course, and the best skulls that I've heard use are those which are the most round.
So, it's safe to say that animals like the bald eagle and maybe the hairless cats, since they could be rubbed for wishes.
Well, I'm not certain that the bald eagle is in fact a bald creature, or if it perhaps has this appearance only because of its coloring. But I think those hairless cats that you mentioned are a good bet.
Well, and it's vital. As you said, it is extremely vital that this creature that you have loved gives back to the earth, first and foremost, of its body and its soul, nourishing the soil which has accepted it. Before it can grant you its wish. And truly, you are granting yourself this wish by the remembrance and the intricate and delicate care to which you put into this entire procedure.
Well, and I'd like to also add that, Aurora, you say this, you know, and I like it, the possibility of receiving a wish, but it's important that there are many reasons that a wish may not be granted. It does not necessarily imply that Fluffy was not a decent pet if you rub its raw skull and no wish is granted. I have a wish.
And what is your wish?
Well, I'm rubbing the bald head of this vision, this leathery head, and hoping that we get a caller. So if you'd like to call, it's 617-253-8810, and we would like one. At least I would like one.
Yes, it's interesting, this tradition that you say of rubbing the bald head. It's interesting because to be bald is a sign of both age and wisdom, but also extreme youth.
And And I think it's also important to understand that the folklore and the stories that we hear of rubbing the so-called magic lamp that we hear so much in different stories, that comes from what we're talking about of rubbing a bald head and rubbing for that wish and that power that is released when that occurs.
There are many things that can be rubbed to receive wishes, I think, or at least I can't think of any. Massage, a masseuse would probably rub for money.
Tugging the loose skin of the elbow.
For change.
Yes.
Or perhaps simply for direction.
Or for travel. Since we're talking about wishes, it'd be interesting to hear what everyone's wishes would be if they had the opportunity to rub one of these heads and be granted one of these wishes.
I think the naive part of me, Grand Epi, would be to wish for a large sum of money and gold. It's like, I'd like to have $1 trillion. Because if we're wishing, let's wish.
$1 trillion.
But I think it would not bring happiness the way that $45 might.
That's true.
Because it's one dinner for you and a few friends. But $1 trillion is like a lot of money. How much money is there in the world, in the whole planet? What is the... what is the total production of the planetary worker? Earth worker?
I'm not certain.
The answer is $75 trillion. Or less. Slightly less.
So you are wishing for what is actually not a very large fraction of the world.
Only 2% of the world production, plus or minus.
And what would you do that with that money? We often talk about what we would do if we were given
a big sum. Well, I think the naive answer is to enslave a large portion of the Earth population. But again, this is the same person who would ask for the money would ask for this outcome.
And might I add that enslaving large portions of the population is incredibly costly, and you may find that your $1 trillion does not extend as far as you would hope.
It would be okay.
I think you could use this money if you wanted, and this is an hypothetical, but I think it is actually enough money to wage an entire war.
Well, I think that it would be inevitable. If I suddenly became by far the largest possessor of wealth on the planet, which would... inevitably, I would have to pay some government or some mercenary force taxes or money forms, gold, horse, in order to gain protection.
Well,
also,
as far as slavery and enslaving people, do you think that a large amount of legal fees and opposition would come with that?
Absolutely. I mean, Grand Epi, simply realize that just by moving my $1 trillion around, nations would rise and fall.
That is
so
true.
I definitely would need a good lawyer to arrange all of that, I would think. Aurora, what is your take on this?
Honestly, I know nothing of money matters.
Well, let's switch to another topic then. What would you wish for?
Well, I find that the things that give me the most pleasure are those really, really tiny surprises. And oftentimes,
come spring, in my great winter coat, I leave myself a small note telling myself, have a lovely winter, with perhaps a piece of candy or a whittled piece of wood. And come the next winter, I am pleasantly surprised, for my memory is so terrible that I never remember that I always do this. So perhaps to be surprised in that way, periodically, that would be my wish.
So just someone who would leave cards and chocolates for you.
It sounds somewhat depressing when you say it like that.
It's really depressed. Because my $1 trillion would probably buy someone that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
A whole 300 people.
I see you are arguing that Erwish is within your own...
It is contained.
That's an interesting proposition, because I think that in a way you are attempting to, one up.
I simply have. Another wish that I might have is that no longer would I like to use toilet paper because it is too coarse. I would use live bunnies.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's very soft, and then I will dispose of the bunnies.
I'm somewhat taken back by your attitude today, and I'm wondering if there's any spiritual burrs within you at the moment.
It's a sort of metaphorical knot in the grain, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, the bunnies, and... You could also try kittens.
It's not ecologically.
Well, and also you have a very strong allergy to cats.
Yeah. So maybe I would wish instead for to no longer be allergic to cats, so that I could use them for toilet paper.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Aurora. I mean, it's not. This is a moment where no longer thinking of the rest of the planet or of other people or of the many kittens who would be used and discarded, but simply taking a moment to have a modest wish for myself, just something that I've always wanted.
I'm not sure in which way this is modest, to ask for $1 trillion.
Well, it's a wish. I could also wish to have the entire universe enslaved and to become a deity more powerful than,
I see. So in the sense, it's quite humble.
I remember a story that you once told me, Dr. Jealous, that of all these people, I believe it was called the egg of a man after his death, being told that he was everyone that had ever existed throughout the expansive history of our universe, and that he was merely developing so that he could join the ranks.
That he was a fetus.
That he was a fetus.
That's a lot of baggage.
And I believe it is important to remember this idea that if you are enslaving billions of people, that you are in fact enslaving yourself.
So if I were making such a wish, I would remember to wish that I was not everyone else.
Well.
But I believe that wishes do not come with ends.
If I had the opportunity to wish and obtain $1 trillion, I think that one of the first things that I would purchase with that money would be to buy myself a mime, because I want to be reminded every day by this mime that I am no longer trapped in a box, and that I have freedom of will, because now I have almost an endless amount of money.
That's interesting, because I think that the mime in this hypothetical situation does not have very much freedom, because you are insisting that he perform for you every day. I think that one thing we should consider with his wishes, if you will, is the notion, which I have seen very much in the literature, is A wish may backfire, if you will, upon the caster of the wish.
Hmm.
And it is exceptionally so that the more you wish for, the more plentiful and potent of a wish you make, the more likely it is that your genie, your bald man, is going to turn your words into something that is actually bad for you.
So you need a wish lawyer.
I'm simply suggesting that the more modest wish, the more likely it cannot backfire.
Well, put in another way, we have all heard many things about drugs, and we know that if you take a very, very potent drug, you are happy, you are thrilled while the drug is in power. But when it leaves your system, you crash much harder. And every experience, every gain that we get in the universe, on our time here on Earth, every time we advance in our lives, it is like a drug. And if we advance greatly, we are taking a very large drug, like heroin.
So, the higher we go, the longer we fall.
I mean,
the deeper we fall.
Consider this situation, Doctor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You wish for $1 trillion. The wish is granted, and yet you are not happier for it.
Yeah, I would also wish to be happier for it. This is the importance of wish lawyers, I think. But let's switch, because I realized that it might be possible for a wish master to instead offer you a witch. Say you have one witch.
Mm-hmm.
What do you choose?
I think that personally I would choose one of the three fates, because I think the other two would follow in suit, and then I would in fact have three witches.
No, the fates are goddesses, not witches.
Oh, I'm perhaps confused.
I said a broom.
Let's switch back to wishes, because I think the witch comment has just confused all of you. Grand Ebbe, what would you wish for?
I talked about it a few minutes ago. I would wish, among the many things, the first thing I would wish is for a mime.
Ah, yes, the mime.
Yes.
And what would you do for the mime beyond rubbing the heads of bald men and lamps?
I will compensate him in terms of some money, and I will have him remind me every day that he is the one that's trapped in an imaginary box, and my body and my imagination is not trapped in that box. And along with $1 trillion and uninhibited imagination, I can go and do and feel what I want.
May I just comment? If wishes were fishes, we would all be drowning in fishes.
I see. I think you are reflecting upon the magnitude of these wishes again.
Not on the magnitude, Zoro, because that would mean that there would be a really big whale, but really the quantity.
The multiplicity.
The number, the vast number that, similar to even small fishes. Aurora, I think this is a beautiful comment, and it leads me to think that perhaps the possibility of wish fulfillment is simply wishful thinking.
Unless perhaps we wish for a fish.
But by wishing for a fish, we are wishing for life.
Fish wishing is idle. Is it not, Aurora?
Is not all wishing idle?
I think if I had one wish to give, I would wish that a fish would be happy.
A happy fish?
Yes, I think that these wishes are being spent in a manner which is not very appreciative of the rest of the universe and what it gives to us.
Well, I think that in going with what you're saying is that understanding the importance of a fish in the universe and the circle of life. And I think that once we have a deep and full understanding of the significance of a fish, then wishing for a fish will make even more sense.
The rhyme in your wish, Aurora. The fish wish.
I think another thing that I might wish for would be a cat. I am very fond of them.
It will eat your fish.
Maybe I could wish for a catfish.
Or easily wish for a cat made out of robots. Which does not eat. So that you could keep the fish.
I feel that we are moving further and further away from a calm spiritual center. But I would like us to take a moment, perhaps, to listen to this joyous music and allow it to wash over us. And I want all of you listeners at home to do as we are doing for the next 2 minutes and just groove.
Aurora's fish wish.
Yes. Starting now.
All this talk about fish wishing makes me think about the hunger problem.
Which hunger problem is that?
How many of us, how many of our brothers and sisters or other people here would, because of hunger, given the opportunity for a wish, make a fish wish?
I see. I think I understand. The route you are taking to address this is a little bit, circumspect, I believe. But you are pointing out that there are many people in the world which perhaps need a wish.
Not even just in the world, because I might say here, as a native Bostonian, who cares about the rest of the world? But even here in Boston, and there are people who are hungry. There is hunger locally.
So we can give them some fish.
And indeed, many of the young mothers here may say to their child who wishes to eat sugar to nourish the brain, and who refuses to eat fish to nourish the body and also the brain, may say, we should arrange to feed the African. No, what is it that they say about children in Africa? There are African children who would love to eat some fish. They would make fish wish. They are fish wishers. But one may only need to go to a street corner anywhere here in the Boston area and find fish wishers.
So we can start, we don't have to go across the other side of the world.
I think maybe even a fish wisher is calling us now. 617-253-8810. Let's talk to the fish wisher. Marhaban, fish wisher.
Marhaban, humans.
How are you? Are you hungry, brother?
No, I'm quite satiated, but I'd like to share a tale with you.
Please.
In the great oral tradition of the Northeast Bostonians.
We are.
There was once a man who rubbed the belly of a very wise man, and the wise man granted him three wishes with one condition. His ex-wife shall receive double. So the man says, I would like a brand new luxury home. And the wise man says, your wife will get two. He said, that's okay. It sounds delicious. He said, okay. So the second wish the man asked for was $1 trillion. And the wise man said, your wife will get $2 trillion. He said, I don't care. Give me $1 trillion. So he said, okay, what is your third wish? And his third wish was for his ex-wife to be beaten half to death.
And in this manner, he is committing suicide?
No, I think, caller, perhaps he wished that he himself would be beaten half to death.
Right. He wanted to be beaten half to death because his ex-wife would receive double.
Oh.
She would be beaten half to death.
Twice, yes.
All the way to death.
But perhaps she would be beaten half to death and then healed.
Spend $1 trillion.
Beaten half to death once more.
Sell a house.
Mm. Yes.
To a healer.
Mm. I think it's a really an ambiguous story, and that's part of the beauty.
Well, I think it would definitely be one of the situations that we would need a wish lawyer. Because what do we do now with her $2 trillion and two mansions?
Yes, I'm not certain, but there are these lawyers to handle these things, I think.
Wish lawyers, yes. We should... If there's any wish lawyers out there that wish to call us, that'd be great to hear from you.
Now, caller, I'd love your opinion on this issue. If you were given a wish by a bald-headed man, what would you wish for?
I would wish for a large bowl of pasta.
I see. This is a wish which I can get behind. It's not too much. It's very difficult for such a wish to be interpreted maliciously.
What would you do with the pasta being satiated, caller?
I would play with it. I would make small sculptures.
With the pasta?
Perhaps a bathtub of pasta. I've always wanted to swim in pasta.
That sounds delicious.
And then would you eat it later, Aurora?
I would only eat it if it was the pasta that Aurora had baked it.
It's very interesting.
I agree.
That's
Zorro, not so much.
Pretty gross. Well, Zorro does have longer hair than Aurora.
Sorry to hear this, but I must accept it, I suppose.
Can I ask a question to everyone?
You just did.
Another one?
Sure. Is that your wish?
A third one. A fourth one. Another one.
Ask away.
I give you, Doctor, permission to ask a question.
Likewise.
Okay, great. Why is it that the hair may be so beautiful on the head... One may even kiss the hair, but then when you find it in the bathtub of pasta, it becomes repulsive.
And I think that the interpretation here is that if it is repulsive, perhaps you will get the meal for free.
Is that really the case? Because even a free meal, if you find a hair in the free meal, how do you feel?
I usually pull it aside and keep eating. That doesn't belong to me.
It depends, I believe, on the thickness, the length, and the quality of the hair.
Is it coarse hair? Is it straight hair?
I don't care. I just keep eating.
It's very, very... What if it is underarm hair?
Yeah, I don't care.
Let's bring in another caller. 617.
Thank you, bye-bye.
No, stay with us, caller, or not. 617.
No, I need to mahaban.
Okay, caller.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you very much. You're doing a wonderful thing.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for being with us.
Okay, bye-bye.
And caller number two. Caller, marhaban. I think we may have lost the caller. Caller loss.
They may be swimming in their pasta now.
It's possible. 617-253-8810. Hopefully the caller will try again. It's amazing. This visual, this virtual rubbing of the bald head, the leather head, the brown oily head, has granted the wish for me. Probably.
I'd like to go back to the issue that you brought up of world hunger, and really something very disturbing that I heard this week. Mm. That there are large, empty, beautiful cities being built in China next to large slums, that people cannot afford their own houses, while vast cities, vast beautiful apartments remain empty because they are too expensive.
Now this is perplexing to me because China is communist.
I'm thinking that it's not a perplex, but a duplex or some kind of combination of units.
Now communism does not necessarily imply that a wage is not received.
Mm-hmm. So who owns the houses?
The country.
The state owns the houses.
Yes.
So the people own the houses.
Yes, but not any single one person owns the house.
So collectively, wouldn't these people or shouldn't these people own these empty units? Or make a claim for them?
I see. So then they collect rent for the units and no one can afford to pay everyone.
Exactly.
So that's the problem with communism.
Yes, it goes through your checkbook very quickly.
Now back to the issue of world hunger. Well, I'm lost. So communism has failed and capitalism has failed. The only system that appears to have kept at least one person fed is a monarchy.
Well, they could definitely eat cake.
Someone's eating.
A lot.
You know, this is a very, very controversial thing which I am about to say, but I've always wondered about whether or not it is really a bad thing to kill all the homeless.
Just euthanize them, put them out of their misery. Mm. I think this is a terrible idea, Aurora.
I think I am inclined to agree with the doctor.
But at now, least you are trying.
In my limited understanding of economics, would this not make us the only state without impoverished?
Aurora, I think you're going to need a wish lawyer as well. So any wish lawyer out there?
This is not something I would wish for. Mm. It is not even something that I would do personally.
But I think this is what Grand Epi is saying, is that if you are in a circumstance, or I, or anyone, where they rub a man's head, a wish genie appears and says, marhaban, I have been trapped in the man's skull for over 3 centuries, and I've promised that anyone that releases me in this time would receive a single wish, and you respond, I would like hunger to end. I would like to solve the problem of world hunger. Without a wish lawyer present, it is possible that the wily demon may respond by simply eliminating the homeless, by dispatching them, not the homeless, the indigent, the hungry, and the confused, those who cannot type well, those who have poor penmanship and difficulty parking.
Yes, I think that it is an interesting point to put this proxy on the genie for your wish. I think personally that any form of social justice which you would be opposed to carrying out yourself, you should not be in favor of.
I would probably reverse my wish for $1 trillion, because realizing now without a wish lawyer present that the demon may simply give everyone in the world $1 trillion, leaving me with simply $1 trillion, which everyone already has, it's worthless. So I think instead I would wish for eternal youth.
Mm-hmm. But have you not found the great wisdom to be attributed to your character now in your great, great age?
Well, you know, old people like me, and I can say this because I am old, they all say it's so great being old, I've learned so many things, but the truth is none of us are ready to die. We all wish we were young forever.
Mm-hmm. Find that fountain of youth.
Find something.
So you would wish for the fountain of youth?
No, I would simply wish for eternal youth, not something that I would possess, that, you know, a youthful fountain or a stone which had philosophical properties or some sort of magic youth wand. A youth wish is not for me. One final call. It's 5 minutes to the hour. Marhaban caller. Yes, welcome.
Genie!
Ah, the answer to my prayer. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful tribute to the possibility of the genie emerging simply by our envisioning it more heavily. So let's all take a minute. Let's take all of us a minute to do that and all say boy. Just now. All right, all of us.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Boy.
Yes. I'm not sure what that was.
I think
is the caller still with us? I think our wishes have been answered.
He's eating some fish and pasta.
That was quite an interesting moment. I think I could not tell if I was speaking or being spoken to.
It's like your body being possessed.
Yeah, something about the collective action makes me feel that I am not only myself, but aligned with the others.
There was definitely an energy in the studio when that occurred.
To poop.
I think the doctor is reminding us that this sound signals the end of our hour today.
Is that one of your wishes, to poop? For some people, it's a luxury.
It's true. Well, everyone, it has been a wonderful hour here on Wimber, WMBR. 88.1 FM, Cambridge. I am Dr. Janis Sakran. Let me thank each of you for joining us. Aurora, thank you, thank you.
Of course, and thank me as well.
Grand Epi, triple thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I will miss you till I'm here again. Thank
you so much. Zoro, quadruple thank you.
I am quite grateful, Doctor, and thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well, and many callers to which we did not get to tonight.
I am Dr. Janis Sakran giving all of you a 5-time thank you. We are Music for Human, New Age Talk Radio on WMBR Cambridge, with an emphasis on you, every Friday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for the next program on the fantastic Wimber, WMBR 88.1 FM. Masalam, alaikum.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.